Audacity on. Ready to go. Facebook on. We'll start in 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1. Well, good morning or good evening, depending upon when you're tuning in, and welcome to the Rescue and Revive Gospel Show. I'm Pastor Domenico Denisi. I'm here with Pastor Matt Smeltzer of not only Grace Covenant Church, but also the Bethlehem Family Shelter, and a number of other things we'll talk about too, Pastor Matt. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Yeah, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Rescue and Revive Ministry headquarters here at 250 Mill Street, High Falls. Always a pleasure. Let's get right into it. To begin with, I already kind of told the people on Facebook Live, and again, just to remind those who might be tuning in or haven't tuned in for a while, we do this interview Facebook Live, but also it airs on the radio on WYSL, the Voice of Liberty. That's 92.1 FM, 95.5 FM, and 1040 AM. So feel free, 11:30 at night. It's the last show every evening on Sunday going into Monday morning. It'll be playing four consecutive Sundays, so keep that in mind. I already mentioned you were the pastor of Grace Covenant Church. Mm-hmm. I just asked you about it before we went Facebook Live, and then also I brought up Bethlehem Family Shelter. Now, how long has it been? Because Bethlehem Family Shelter is a new work, but it's going extremely well based upon what I've seen on just keeping up on social media. So how did that start? How long has that been running? So on.
I'll paint the picture for you real quick. So back 2019, I received a call from a family that had a house fire. It was a mom, dad, and some kids. And mom needed shelter because they just had nowhere to go. Our best advice at the time was, well, if you split up, we can help you because there's men's shelters, women's shelters, things like that. There really wasn't a lot of options for a family. And I call it like a holy download. It was like in that moment, I started seeing that we need a Christ-centered shelter for families where they can stay together in a non-congregate way. And literally, I just started writing these processes down. That's why it was like a download. It just started coming. Even the name Bethlehem, Mary and Joseph going into Bethlehem, not knowing where they were going to stay. So it's always a non-congregate setting with the value being, what would I want for my family? Bethlehem, it always has to be a place that decreases trauma rather than increases trauma. A lot of times people go into shelter and they come out, you know, with more trauma. So, yeah, that's Bethlehem, and it's going absolutely amazing. But I think when you're doing the Lord's work His way, and you know from your ministry that He anoints it, right? Because you're doing it for Him and His kingdom. Bethlehem's just been doing amazing.
What's unique about Bethlehem, and you had experience at one point in time, you were employed by Open Door Mission, and you were employed by Salvation Army. So you've been around this population, population for a long time. Still work within it. What makes Bethlehem, I think, unique, though, is the family aspect of it.
The non-congregate.
Right, the non-congregate. Tell us a little bit about your locations, because have you not added some additional locations recently?
Yeah, so just for transparency, I don't like to give the address just publicly, just because respect the family's privacy, but
maybe just the region.
So we just got one in Henrietta, and that's a beautiful location. We have one in Canandaigua, where we now have 4 units in Webster. A motel actually gave me 4 units to use just for the winter.
Is that Motel 8?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
I'll leave
no,
them
it's
all.
Okay. No, it's not that one.
All right.
But it's
okay.
Amazing. And the one in Webster is actually really unique because it's primarily just for couples, because a lot of times couples won't go into shelters if they have to separate. So the one in Webster is for couples. The other ones are for families with kids. And you know what's also neat about Bethlehem is that they can bring in their pets. Because it is
like
that. I know, me too. Because, you know, telling a kid, you know, I'm sorry this all happened to you, but you can't bring your dog,
makes it even harder.
Oh, my goodness, man. Yeah.
I got to tell you, we just got a dog. It's been almost a year now. I'm not a dog guy. I wasn't a dog guy.
Yeah.
We got this little dog, Posey, right? And she's a Morkie.
Posey?
Posey.
Okay. All right.
I didn't mean him.
All right.
My kids
no, it's okay.
But I absolutely fell in love with this. This dog follows me everywhere, sleeps next to me, everywhere I go. So now I have an understanding of how they become like family members. So case in point, makes sense. You wouldn't want to separate the pets.
Yeah.
Make it even harder.
Well, because you could see the opposite, right? So like if you give the family, you know, one of the last moms I had move into Bethlehem, she said, it felt like the home hugged me. She said, I felt like the home hugged me. She started crying. She started crying tears of joy. But to have, you know, things that you would want for your family, the, where the pets can come, the Wi-Fi, so the kids can do school, decorated really nice, you know, just so it feels like a home.
That's really, really beautiful. Great ministry, a well-needed ministry. Mm-hmm. Just for a moment, let me talk about the church that you've been pastoring now. We just had for about 6 years, Grace Covenant. They were pastorless for how long before you arrived?
Man, you know, I think, you know, when I look at the annual report and I see all the timeline of the blips, you know, one pastor started and then left, another one started and left. It was a season, I don't know, I don't want to exaggerate, maybe like 10 years of just off and on, off and on, off and
that's,
on.
I think you're accurate.
Yeah. And, you know, different reasons. I'm not faulting anyone, but I was in Guatemala, felt the calling to come back to the States, not knowing where I was going to be, but I saw this ad pop up, church looking for a pastor, and threw my name in the hat, and so just started preaching there and just stayed and love it. And you know what's so cool is that the church, even though it's such a small congregation, it's an incredibly mission-centered church. We have about 30-40 missionaries that we're supporting with this small congregation. So the Lord brought me to a mission-centered church, and I just absolutely love it.
Let's continue to talk about that missions, because, you know, myself now being in Spence support, you know, in my third year, and you know, there's a handful of missionaries who support. Obviously, they support Rescue and Revive Ministries as well. And so your church would be considered a smaller church. Even Spence support Bible to rebuild, we probably average Sunday 60, 70 people, which is, you know, considered small, really, by today's standards. So
mine would be really small. Some people's Bible studies are bigger than mine. But
that's okay.
You know, I love it, man.
My first pastor, who is now the pastor of Savannah Community Church, who's affiliated with Rescue and Revive, he pastored a church for like 25 years and never got beyond really 20, 25 people. And he was faithful to it, and I learned so much through him. He just taught the Word of God, so on and so forth. Let's talk about some of the advantages of that, because there's a lot of people, and there might be somebody tuning in, they go to a small church, and they've been faithful to that small church. What are some of the advantages? Because you've been around.
Advantages is the intimacy, right? So, I mean, like, I always say, and I don't even mean it flippantly, that I consider Grace Covenant Church, by the Lord's standards, a mega church.
Okay.
Right? Because they love each other deeply. They love the Lord. Mm-hmm. They love studying the Word. Mm-hmm. The fellowship that they have with each other is out of the roof, right? I'll get calls and say, so-and-so was sick. I visited so-and-so. Every Sunday, they're bringing lunch to be together.
That's awesome.
I know, man. Like, other churches may have to plan a special activity just to be together, where it's like, my congregation, every Friday, they will just play cards together and go out to eat together, and they just love each other.
You have intimacy, you have community there. Mm-hmm. Even at Spencerport Bible, we have what we call now a family meal every 2 or 3 months. Mm-hmm. And you can do that 50, 60, 70, maybe 80, maybe up to 100 people. When you get up to 200, 300, 400 people, the dynamics of the church community completely change.
Oh, sure.
And I recall, and there's several churches that are in this boat now, not that it's bad or wrong, but they may have 3 services, and what I notice is the first service that's 3 hours before the last service, they don't even know each other.
Yeah.
And that's one of the challenges, I think, of the larger churches. But let's continue to kind of talk about some of the missions points here. You said you support 30 or 40 missionaries. How is that possible with a church that size?
You know, I think, what is it, the Church of, it's so early in the morning, but Mesopotamia?
Macedonia.
You're Macedonia, where Paul said you gave out of your lack.
That's a great word.
And that's really what it is. I mean, these people are reaching deep into their pockets, you know, for
it's true.
Because they love sharing the word. I think at one of our last missions conference, which is really like a missions gathering, I wouldn't want to get, you know, where we just talk missions. Our missions director will invite someone in, so it's usually a 3-day event. But it was like one of the last ones we had, just maybe last year, it was like $12,000.
That's a lot of money.
It came in for a group of like sometimes under 20 people.
Yeah.
Right? It's really touching. It really, really is touching. So, but they just love the Lord. And I don't think they see it as giving away. I think it's more of like an investment. We're investing into the kingdom. They love the Lord. They truly love the Lord.
Yeah, that's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Let's talk about you in personal missions, because you already brought up to the people here Guatemala. I remember when you were in Guatemala. I know you went there several times. You planted a church. You lived there.
I just went last November.
Exactly. I saw that. So talk a little bit about, because there's people who are watching or listening and they've never been overseas. We were talking about how we're returning to Kenya here pretty 6-7 weeks.
You know, and I'll say it here, I'm going to go with you someday.
I would love it. I would love it. Yeah. And I really would. Talk about Guatemala. What's the difference? Talk about the difference with international missions, because we do missions here locally. We do them all over, but what's the difference with international missions?
I think in a quick nutshell, and you would know this too, the level of poverty is different.
Correct.
The sense of urgency for needs is really different. I was one time in Guatemala, I was helping a homeless man get into a shelter. So, but even that should be like a big air quote, a shelter, right? So I gave this person quinceañeras, which was the Guatemala money, and they let the man go in, and he said, he literally said, here's your cardboard so you can lay down on.
Wow.
Right? And he pointed to an area by a wall, mm-hmm. and he said, that, you know, that's where you can lay for the night, and that was the shelter.
Wow.
And so, like, when I look at other shelters where, you know, I remember I was at one shelter here locally, someone mm-hmm. came running over to the desk, and they, you know, and like a huge panic, and I'm thinking, like, man, what, did someone stab him in the leg? I mean, like what is going on here?
Right.
And he said, he's like, there is no sugar in my Kool-Aid.
Oh my God.
right. And you know, and it's like, so sometimes here we got this sense of like entitlement, you know, like
Correct.
You know, more should be coming to me, where but over there, you know, and in places where you have such lack, I think it's really evident, the desperation.
Less is way more.
Yeah.
Just trying to explain that when you go to places that are more impoverished, they're second, third world, even developing countries, because Kenya is very diverse. I mean, there's mm-hmm. a huge, huge disparity between the rich and the poor.
Yeah, yeah.
You can go and see, go to a very nomadic, primitive area, then you could go to a more affluent area, maybe Nairobi, so on and so mm-hmm. forth. But mm-hmm. the people that have such lack, they have so much. It's something you can't teach, you can't manufacture.
Well, yeah, because what they have, what they're left with, they have the real.
Right.
Right. They don't have all the fluff. They don't have all the stuff that, you know, that they're what they have is the essentials. So that's beautiful.
Let me kind of extend the question a little bit. So let's talk more about that. Guatemala, Kenya, these areas you've been to. When it comes to sharing the gospel, proclaiming the gospel, what are some of the cultural differences? How have you been able to do that in what you deem a fruitful or successful way?
Well, you know, in Guatemala, they're not, I wouldn't say they're an unreached area. I mean, they have the gospel.
Are they Catholic?
Yeah, yeah. So what I think they have a lot, and I'm painting with a broad brush, of course, but largely I see a lot of bad doctrine, right? So you might see some...
See the same thing in Kenya.
Right, you might see some prosperity gospel. You might see some things where it just, you know, comes in. You need to come in and actually crack the Bible open and show what the Word of God actually is, rather than just these things that they were taught. You know, just through tradition or just some bad teachings.
So Jesus, he's out there, but the teaching of Jesus and the good news of Jesus Christ is poor.
Yeah, or a version of Jesus that's not the right Jesus.
Well, but I see the exact same thing in Kenya, because Kenya's considered a Christian nation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, well, why would you go to a Christian nation? Because there's such bad doctrine.
Oh, yeah,
there's different gospels. And so really, we're going over there and trying to bring in the truth.
Well, I'll tell you what. So here's a story that correlates with that. So I went to this one home in Guatemala. It was a little village home where dirt floor.
Mm-hmm.
Mama had this huge, like, hernia. I mean, it was, like, protruding out of her side. And she said, I know God hates me. That's why I have this. And her son had physical disabilities. So we sat there and just started talking about, you know, just how deeply he loves us. And our physical, basically this isn't our home. You know, we're just passing through here and reminding her that John the Baptist was beheaded and the disciples were martyred, right? So our physical comfort really isn't a gauge on how much he loves us.
That's right.
Yeah.
And they have that's part of the you know, the poor doctrine. Whoever came in and shared that type of teaching, which we know is off, it's sad to see that. But there's such a need for being anchored in the Word of God.
Amen.
And Guatemala, Kenya, across the world, I've just seen such a, I call it, you know, they're it's impoverished in the gospel. I mean, they really need, like the Apostle Paul said, if myself or even an angel come, bring any other gospel, let it be accursed. There's so many other gospels there. People just need, the gospel's simple, yet it's truly profound.
For sure, sure. You know, it's really... It's two ends of the spectrum of the prosperity gospel. Because one end is, you know, you can get your Cadillac.
Right.
But if you're not on his good terms, then you're going to think he hated you.
I'm gonna quote Mike Hennessy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He said something so many years ago at a gospel businessman fellowship, and it was really, it was a good 10 to 12 years ago. But he said, we have to be careful that we don't think we need to be poor to be holy or rich to be blessed.
Amen, amen.
And I thought about that, and I've quoted that as I just did so many times. And it's so, so true.
Yeah, yeah. So we can't add anything to the cross, right? I mean, right. Jesus plus anything is nothing.
Right? Good word.
Right?
Good word.
Right.
You brought in some,
yeah,
some
yeah.
magazines
so,
here. Go ahead. You can hold it up. You can show the people.
Okay. So you know, there's another quote, right, where it says the mother of invention is necessity. Right, and so after helping people a lot around our community, and people asking me for different services, different shelters, mm-hmm. different clothing closets and food pantries, I started thinking, like, man, we really need a resource where we can mm-hmm. put it all together, yeah. all in one. So this is the Community Advantage. It's a magazine that I published, mm-hmm. And it actually does a flip magazine, because then the other side is about pets.
Resource.
So you can get these at Alpha Omega. I gave a bunch to Pastor Russ Loria and Ann, mm-hmm. you know, to hand out with the Father's Heart Ministry.
That's
but
cool.
but it's packed with, you know, all sorts of resources in our community.
Wonderful.
And we just give it out free, just to make it easier, right? So people can help navigate their way through crisis situations.
They need resources.
Yeah,
people
man.
Need resources, especially in the inner city. They need the resources, they need the contacts, so on and so forth. So this is well designed, very creative, because you have the Community Advantage the one side, then you flip it over, you got the pet resource.
Well, there's so many. Rochester is a really generous community, but a lot of times people don't know what's available. I mean, like, in here is pet food pantries, things mm-hmm. like that. I mean, there's just so many great resources. So, yeah good stuff.
I'm going to end with, not end, we have got about 7 or 8 minutes. Man, 8 or 9 minutes. But you came in this morning, I meet you at the elevator, and I look at your hand, and I tell you the story of how I just lost my wedding band in 22 years, kind of heartbroken over it. I have no idea where it is. And you said, that just happened to me. You're wearing the black band that I was just about to go get at Walmart.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is bizarre. I don't really know what God's trying to show me through this, but let me just pause and just connect that to this. Let's talk about the importance of the wives in ministry, because you do multiple things. You have how many? 3 children?
Four children. I got one from a previous marriage.
And then you have the three
with Jolene,
right?
Yeah.
So your wife is in the same homeschool group.
Yeah.
But you have, from the outside looking in, I think people may have a similar perception of you and I. Man, this guy's doing a lot. They use the word busy. But share with people the role your wife plays in gospel ministry.
My goodness, man. I think you would need another 2 hours for this
right.
one. But the... So for one, I mean, the busy aspect, I always say be a missionary wherever you are. You know, just changing your address doesn't make you a missionary.
Right.
You know, so her and I have that same shared heart, that same shared goal to just serve and follow the Lord. One time, and I think this summarizes her heart, one time, and I don't even mean to over-spiritualize this, she actually had a very, very vivid dream where she was putting armor on me. Right, right. I mean, like, if you think of, like, the old knights where they couldn't put
sure.
their clunky armor on themselves,
yeah.
they needed someone to do it.
Yeah.
So she had a very vivid dream that she was putting the armor on me, helping me go out. And that's really indicative of how we operate. I mean, so many mm-hmm. things that I'm involved in, I 100% transparent, I can't do that
mm-hmm.
without her.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, everything would really fall apart without her. You know, I started getting back into long distance running, and we have a tradition that I never cross the finish line without her. Because it's like, because even that, for me, is a great picture of, like, I can't do this without you, right? And so, yeah. You know, C.S. Lewis, I think it was him, where he said, all careers should be to help the greatest career, which was the household, right? Right.
Wow.
So, I mean, everything, she's holding the fort down and she's raising the kids and,
mm-hmm.
you know, but she's also, I don't even want to say that's all
sure.
she's doing.
That's a lot.
She's also,
right?
It's an enormous role.
Yeah.
But she also is a pet therapist,
mm-hmm.
right? She got the dog, you know, so she'll go into hospice programs
right.
and do stuff like that. She's a nurse. She just started working with Compass Care as a nurse.
Wonderful.
You know, she went to New York City as a mission nurse.
Mm-hmm.
She's just an amazing woman, man.
It sounds, I'm listening to you, and the word that just comes to mind is helper.
And
you know, that's what
yeah.
God ordained in Genesis. You know?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a helper, a helpmate, you know, and that's... such an important role. I know for my wife, she's behind the scenes person. She doesn't like to be in the front, but she's just a servant. Whatever's needed, she'll do it behind the scenes, get the coffee, get the cookies, set up the tables, fix the tables, so on and so forth. And people, to use restaurant terminology, front of the house, back of the house, for those who have worked in restaurants, you got to have both. And I have discovered, and this includes like the team we have going to Kenya, some of the other men that are going, that are married, they have very strong helpmates, solid women of God, and the importance of that. So important. I've tried to get my wife on the show, but that's not her. That's how much she doesn't want to be in the spotlight. She just wants to stay behind the scenes. But
so Jolene probably wouldn't care about that either. Maybe those two, Jolene probably wouldn't care about that either.
Well, so is Jolene.
They're in the same old school.
They should go out for coffee.
So, you know, with that being said, we only have a few minutes left, but why don't you take an opportunity, Pastor Matt, first and foremost, let's say there's somebody happens to be out there on Facebook land or listening on WYSL. They need help. They know a family that's in need. And I did send somebody to you recently. I don't remember who it was. I don't know what happened with that. I just know that I directed someone to you. How did they get in contact with you about Bethlehem Family Shelter?
So I would say BethlehemFamilyShelter.org. That is, so you'll get the website there, and there's a a communication link, so you can just shoot an email from there. So that would be the easiest way. So easy to remember, Bethlehem Family Shelter.
Okay, BethlehemFamilyShelter.org. How about this next contact information? Now somebody's out there, and there's a lot of people. I call them spiritually homeless. When I say spiritually, they don't really have a home fellowship. I've been spiritually homeless, before.
For sure.
Spencerport, we were kind of in the wilderness, so I know how it feels. They're looking for a home church, that maybe a smaller type setting, more intimate setting, maybe a setting where people have lunch after service on Sunday. But seriously, Grace Covenant Church, you just said, it's a smaller, more intimate church. How do they get in touch with you regarding Grace Covenant?
Well, so just to, I guess, undergird what you're saying right there, because I'm not really a numbers person. I don't really care about that. But however, it does bother me, because I know there's people in the neighborhood that are spiritually homeless. I know there's people in the neighborhood that are...
There's a lot of people that
are. Oh my goodness, that are like hurting, that would benefit.
It's the church age we're in.
That would benefit from a good, healthy church. So 224 Chestnut Ridge Road in Chilai, Grace Covenant Church. Service starts at 11 a.m. And come. If you're very, be yourself, casual. So some people might wear suits, some people jeans. I say that because I remember some people would say, well, how should I dress? It's like, I don't care how you're dressed.
Right. Yeah. So I understand you're filling in for another pastor.
I am, great guy.
You'll be at Spencerport Bible on,
March 23rd.
March 23rd. Yeah, I'm sure you're going to bless the people. Yeah. Looking forward to that. So, last question I have for you before we wrap it up. We end every show the exact same way. We've been doing this for almost 6 years. If you could, you got 60 seconds to just, in your own words, your own way, share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ with the people who are watching or listening on the radio.
You know, I've been thinking about this a lot. And
did you know I was going to ask you this?
Well, I did, but I've still been pondering. You know, because a way to summarize this. But you know what kept coming back to me recently was like a sickness, but almost a little bit different. Like imagine a self-imposed sickness, a disease, but it's also a completely different kind of sickness, because this sickness makes you crave it even more. So now you have this disease, and it's permeating out into your family, and you're hurting others because of this disease, and you can't even shake it. This disease is actually making you want it more. You are trapped in this disease, and it's manifesting and growing, and it's getting more and more and more deadly, and you can't do anything about it. Now here comes someone who heals you just because he loves you. Nothing that you did, you didn't earn it, just because he loves you. Man, that's, for me, that's a picture of the gospel, right? I mean, because it's not just cleaning yourself up. I mean, it's like you are sick. You are sick, and you're hurting others. You're hurting your life, but he's reaching down and he's saving you just because he loves you, and he's making you new. The sickness is gone.
As you're talking about that, that's the exact passage I was talking about, where Jesus says it's not the whole or the well that are in your position, but it's the sick. So coming to a realization that you actually need to be saved. Saved from what? Sin, hell, death. You need a savior. Realizing you have a condition called sin. And that you need to be rescued. You need to be redeemed, bought back from that condition. And the only one that can do that is the Redeemer.
Amen. You know, sometimes I think part of that bad gospel teaching is people might acquaint it just to like behavior modification. It's not just behavior modification. This is you need a healing. You need the Savior to come in to save you.
Yes, and I was talking about it this Sunday. You also need to be brainwashed. In a sense. When I say brainwashed, mm-hmm. I mean all of a sudden everything becomes new. You need to be, you're watching different things, you're listening to different things. You become a new creature in Christ.
Yeah.
And so what's going in, it's like, was it Romans 12? Mm-hmm. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed Amen. By the renewing Amen. Of your mind, right?
Amen.
And so this is the gospel, and this is what you and I have dedicated our lives to by the grace of God, for the glory of God alone.
There's nothing greater.
There isn't. No, there isn't. Eternity. We'll end with this quote because you just made me think about it. The missionary, Elliot.
Mm-hmm.
What's his first name?
Jim Elliot.
Thank you. Jim Elliot. He said, he is no fool that gives up what he can't keep to gain that which he can't lose.
Amen.
And that's, he's talking about the brevity of the temporal of life and then the enormity of eternity. And, you know, he died as a martyr right on the missions field internationally. What an amazing testimony that legacy lives on today. So,
and speaking of wives,
yes,
his wife stuck around.
Yes, you know, amazing.
There's wife. Yeah.
There's a documentary on that called End of the Spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
There's, encourage everybody out there to watch that if they can. I want to say thank you to everybody for supporting Rescue and Revive Ministries. We have been so blown away and just in awe of the support of prayer support, financial support, boots on the ground, meaning people that partake in the actual weekly, monthly ministries that we have going on. We'll be going back to Kenya. Please keep that in prayer. That's coming up March 8th through the 23rd. We have a team of 7 pastors and ministers that are going to be going throughout Western Kenya. We're going to be bringing all kinds of supplies with us, including 100 Swahili Bibles to give out to our church in Kisoko. So looking forward to it. So I want to just, from the depths of my heart, tell everyone listening and watching, thank you for helping us to rescue the lost and revive the saved with the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Have a great day, great evening. Thank you.